This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Tuesday, January the 30th. I'm Joy Cardine. Thanks for being with us here on the Ideas Network. We just heard Sean Johnson's report in the state newscast previewing Governor Doyle's State of the State address tonight at 7 o'clock. Sean and Wisconsin Public Television's Frederica Freiberg will be co-anchoring the coverage that you can see tonight on Wisconsin Public Television or listen to right here on the Ideas Network starting at 7 o'clock tonight. And this hour, we want your assessment of the state of the state. We want to know what issue you think is the most important issue facing the state of Wisconsin and what you'd like to see done about it. And we will also preview with our guest some of the issues that we already know the governor will highlight in his fifth State of the State address tonight at 7 o'clock. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Again, we preview the State of the State, and we wonder what problem or issue you think is the most important issue facing the state of Wisconsin and what you'd like the governor and the legislature to do about it. Well, let me welcome in our guest, Dennis Dreesang, professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Good morning.
Morning, Joy.
You know, I've been around here for a while, and I don't remember every year the governor telling us a lot of what he's going to say before he said it during the State of the State. Is this unusual? We're hearing a number of proposals prior to the State of the State.
Well, it's a very good point, Joy. It used to be that for State of the State and State of the Union addresses, everybody was on pins and needles, so to speak, to see what was going to happen, what the agenda would be. In recent years, there has been a bit of a change from that format, and in the past few years, we've been having governors give a hint or two about what was going to be in the state of the state. I think this time around, on a couple of these issues, like the global warming biofuel initiative, for example, boy, we've gotten a lot of detail before the State of the State address, similarly on some of the health issues. Doesn't mean that we won't have some initiatives announced tonight that there hasn't been publicity about, but it's a way of making more out of what the governor gets out of the State of State address.
Yeah, let's talk about some of the issues that we know. Tell us a little bit about this global warming biofuels initiative.
Well, first of all, it should be pointed out that Wisconsin is one of several states and actually some cities that are taking action on global warming and biofuels, and that in itself is really surprising, really unusual, in that this is really a national issue and a federal issue when we start talking about global warming and energy policy. But because of the absence of initiatives, and indeed the Bush administration has been criticized heavily for not even recognizing the existence of global warming, despite the science studies that have been done, states are acting, and Wisconsin is now becoming part of that. Just briefly, what the governor has already indicated is that he wants to establish, as the newscast pointed out, a separate office that is going to focus on this issue and coordinate efforts in state government. He's going to create a task force. We don't know exactly who's going to be on the task force. I don't think maybe there'll be some announcements of that tonight or precisely what the charge to the task force is going to be. But that's potentially very important. And then the governor is going to be giving grants and loans to the tune of $30 million, that's his proposal, to foster alternative fuels, ways of having energy without contributing to global warming, $2 million in tax credits to go from 79 to another 400 fuel pumps around the state that provide biofuel for motor vehicles. The state is planning on having the first plant in the country, and this is going to cost about $5 million, to produce ethanol from cellulose. Rather, most of us think quite appropriately that ethanol comes from corn. And so this is to provide a plant that really focuses on cellulose, wood products, essentially.
Let me, before we move on to some other issues that we know the governor's going to address tonight, let me bring in a caller, Gary in Boscobel, who wants to touch on the ethanol issue. Hi, Gary. Well, Gary decided to hang up when I put him on the air. Thanks, Gary. Well, all right. Well, besides the Global Warming Task Force and creating this Energy Independence Office to coordinate the state's effort to expand the use of renewable energy by 2025, we also heard from Governor Doyle that he plans to at least officially announce that he wants the legislature to pass a statewide smoking ban in public places, workplaces, including bars and restaurants, and increase the tax on a pack of cigarettes. Talk about that some.
Well, again, this, like the global warming or biofuel proposal, is actually following the lead of a number of other states. We would not be the first state to do this. New Jersey, California have really taken the lead. Actually, California's law went into effect January 1st of this year. But it's we already have some communities, Appleton, Madison among them, that have this kind of a ban. And up in Appleton, the voters actually reaffirmed their support for that in a referendum that they had on this past fall during the fall elections. There are people who have always opposed this kind of a ban, saying it's bad for business, that this is a choice issue and people should have the choice to do it. And, of course, they've been butting heads with people who look at it as a health issue and are talking not only about the health of patrons in these public places, but also the workers, the people who are employed as bartenders and waiters and, and the like. So it'll I'm not sure that this is one that we can predict is necessarily going to pass the legislature, but it's interesting to see the governor getting out in front on this issue and presenting it to the legislature for its consideration.
Yeah, can you help me understand any more, Professor Driesing, a report that we did hear in our state newscast as well about refinancing the bonds for the tobacco settlement and the concerns as to whether this money would be really going to health or not?
As I understand it, we actually have a couple of issues here that have somewhat gotten confused and merged. One is that when the tobacco settlement was made, and Wisconsin was one of the states that got a settlement from the tobacco companies, the tobacco companies agreed to pay us money over a 25-year period. And what happened during Governor McCallum's administration is we were to get a total over the 25 years of about $5 billion. And because of the budget shortfall at the time, Governor McCallum said, well, let's sell the rights to the $5 billion for whatever we can get. And whatever we could get at the time was $1 billion. So it was a pretty good deal for people to essentially put in $1 billion, and then over the 25-year period, they're going to get $25 billion. Now, that money comes from the tobacco companies. It doesn't come from the state. And by the way, most of those bonds, interestingly, were bought up by the tobacco companies. They're not dumb. So they're essentially just cutting their own obligations. The refinancing of bonds is really bonds not associated with this tobacco settlement, because the state didn't borrow any money to do this, but rather it's refinancing bonds, as I understand it, that we already have taken out for a variety of programs and projects, and taking advantage of different interest rates, and that would net the $650 million, that's what the projection is, which comes close. Well, it doesn't come close to the $5 billion, of course, but it gets us more money. And then the issue is, okay, if we get this money, even though it's sort of seen in part as recouping the losses, as it's seen from taking the short-term route on the tobacco settlement, what is that money going to be used for? And Governor Doyle was Attorney General at the time that we got the tobacco settlement and a major player mm-hmm. nationally in that. So he personally, as well as politically and professionally, has been against the use of tobacco, unhappy about the way the tobacco settlement was handled by Governor McCallum, and part of his agenda is to put more money into anti-tobacco efforts. The board that had been established when we got the tobacco settlement was really, it wasn't financed. It pretty much frittered away. There wasn't a commitment by the state to have various programs to persuade people that getting started smoking or continuing smoking was a bad idea. And I think what he really wants to do is revive those efforts. We're not sure how much money he's suggesting we invest in that.
Let me hold you here for now. We'll continue talking with Dennis Dreesing, professor of political science at UW-Madison, about tonight's State of the State address. Governor Doyle gives his fifth State of the State address tonight at 7 o'clock. And this hour, we're talking about the issues that most likely will come up, those issues that we already know the governor plans to call for in the address tonight. And we are wondering from you, what do you want to hear? What issue do you think is the most important issue facing Wisconsin, and what do you want to see the governor and the legislature do about it? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. Or send an email, talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, 22 minutes past 8 o'clock now on this Tuesday, January the 30th. Tonight at 7 o'clock, Governor Jim Doyle delivers his State of the State address to the legislature, and you can hear that coverage here on the Ideas Network and watch it on Wisconsin Public Television. We will tomorrow, by the way, be following up on all of what he had to say with guests from many different perspectives, politicians and analysts and other experts weighing in on what the governor wants Wisconsin to do in the next year. We're talking this hour with Dennis Dreesing, a political science professor at UW-Madison, about what we know the governor will be addressing tonight, and welcoming your thoughts and questions for him. We've talked already some about the proposed smoking ban that the governor would like, the increase in the cigarette tax. The governor also says that he wants to create an office on energy independence and appoint a global warming task force. So we've talked some about that. I also saw some coverage, Professor Dreesing, that says that the governor this year is going to give the University of Wisconsin system much of the money that it wants, especially to graduate more students. So you want to talk about that?
Well, there's been some concern over the past few years, in particular, over the number of college graduates that we have in Wisconsin. In part, it should be pointed out, it's not an issue where we aren't graduating individuals from our colleges and universities, public and private, but it's a brain drain. The focus here, however, is on ensuring that we've got a good supply, that we've got the kinds of programs that are necessary to enable people who want a college education or capable of getting it to have one. In part, this fits in with previous initiatives of Governor Doyle to really focus on economic development initiatives that emphasize technology. The idea is to make sure that we've got a workforce in Wisconsin that's highly educated, that is highly trained, and this ideally then will attract industries and help us retain industries that rely on knowledge. The whole, it's often referred to as a knowledge-based economy, which tend to be good jobs, jobs that pay well, and then help everybody in the state.
Well, we have a bunch of callers who want to talk about some of these issues. We'll preview more of the issues we know the governor will be talking about tonight as we go along. But let's go back to Gary in Boscobel, who I think is with us now. Hi, Gary.
Yes, I am. Thank you, Joy. Mm-hmm. I wanted to comment about the biofuel issue in Wisconsin. And previously, we've had the oil cartels, which are kind of on the edge of the page now, but we have the rise of the grain cartels. And they're jumping up and down for joy because of all of the federal and state funding they're going to get to build ethanol plants and increase the price of grain. And I just read an article in the paper the other day about the increased demand for corn is cutting supplies for food producers. And one of my biggest concerns, if we don't take our time and look at this ethanol issue in a reasonable way, we're going to find that we're using more and more marginal land, less and less suitable for grain production. We've got 33 million acres of land in the United States in the Conservation Reserve Program, which is designed to put highly erodible or critical habitat lands out of production. And that's all going to go back into production as the price of corn goes up. So I'm extremely concerned about just charging full steam ahead into this ethanol issue without looking at all the potential downsides of this and having to fund it on top of it.
Yeah, is the governor and our legislators looking at the downside of this, Professor Driesing?
Well, Gary raises a very good point, and the legislature actually considered a bill last session that would have really promoted the use of ethanol a lot. In the production of ethanol, and they backed away from it and did not pass it.
That was the one that would have mandated 10% ethanol content in the gas that we buy at the gas station.
Right, and that would have, I mean, there was one issue, which is that mandate. The other issue was the kind of issue that Gary raises, which is, well, do we really know all that we want to know and need to know about the cost of reliance on ethanol. And I'm not an expert in this area, but I do know that there are scientists, economists as well, on both sides of the issue, debating this very heavily. I personally don't know what the right answer is. I'm not sure anybody really knows. There's not a consensus that ethanol is the way to go. Certainly is. There's a lot of political support behind it. The state of Iowa, boy, you start talking like this there, and you're going to have an audience of maybe six people who will listen to you. They're convinced, I think it's probably going to be resolved politically as well as looking at studies.
Right, and as you pointed out, some of the initiatives are not corn-based. Ethanol, but using waste to do ethanol and other products to do ethanol, right?
Right. Yeah. And also, my understanding is the governor tonight is going to talk about other sources of energy, wind and solar.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we know that those are indeed sources of energy. They've got some downsides as well. I suppose at a minimum, it's what we're seeing is more attention to diversification.
Thanks, Gary. Glad we got you back. A lot of people want to talk about ethanol, but, you know, this program really isn't a program devoted just to ethanol. So I'm going to move on to a caller with another issue facing the state of Wisconsin, John in Delafield. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Joy, and thanks. I'm glad to get off of the energy topic. I don't think the governor really should be focusing on, you know, things like energy policy and global warming, which are, by definition, global issues that can only be impacted in a meaningful way by policymakers at the national and international levels anyway. What Governor Doyle should be talking about is tax reform, and I fear he won't. Just by, you know, past history, had we elected Mark Green, I think we would have. We have an overfunded university and public park system. Our tax base can no longer support these things. We have to make some hard choices. And I fear that he won't address those things. He'd rather hand out tax credits and loan guarantees and so forth for posturing purposes. I don't really think he cares about tax reform. Yet if you look at any serious independent ranking of what we pay in terms of income tax and property taxes in this state, you'll see it's egregious, and we can't afford it any longer. Thank you for letting me speak, and I will listen to the professor's response off the air.
Okie doke. So we need to be hearing more about tax reform, Professor Driesing. Do you think the governor is going to talk about that tonight?
Well, it wasn't real clear what John was referring to in terms of tax reform. It sounded more like he was talking about spending rather than how we get revenue. The State of the State address is really designed primarily to talk about priorities, and that gets followed up with the budget proposal that's made by the governor and then deliberated on by the legislature, which is going to take priorities and fit that within the revenue and spending framework of the budget. And some of the priorities are really not, it's not so much a matter of cost, it's a matter of emphasis. Having said that, I think John's right that Governor Doyle has, at least thus far, not really seen any particular reason to have a major study of how we collect taxes, what sources we have, other than the taxing and spending issues that revolve around K through 12 education. And I wouldn't be surprised if that is an agenda item that appears and is more visible tonight. He has not given us anything ahead of time to really focus on.
Yeah. He did certainly say in some past speeches that he's committed to and wants to retain two-thirds state funding of our local schools. But is that something that's more likely to be talked about in the budget address than the State of the State address?
Well, I think so. I think there's a general consensus for that formula. But the real issue is, well, can we afford it given other things that we want to spend money on? And then there's the issue, and this is the really tricky one, and that is, what are the implications of how, when the state and the local governments, specifically the school districts, fund K through 12 education? You know, what taxes should each of them be relying on, and how do they interact, particularly as it affects a specific school district? Because the two-thirds is not two-thirds for every school district; it's two-thirds overall, and it impacts, given the formulas, different school districts in different ways.
Yeah. Talk some about, John says that he hears about all these tax credits that the governor wants to give people. Like what? I know that I've heard about some sort of tax credit regarding health care.
Well, he's also talking about tax credits as a way of, as I understand it, as a way of generating some of the initiatives, specifically like the renewable fuel pumps, within the biofuel global warming initiative. We have a lot of different tax credits at the state level and certainly at the federal level, and it's interesting that this point is made by a supporter of the Republican candidate for governor last time around. Tax credits tend to be really an approach that's favored generally more by Republicans than by Democrats. There's a lot of controversy right now, for example, on President Bush's proposal regarding tax credits for getting health insurance. And Democrats generally don't like the implications of that. It assumes that you're getting that you're paying taxes and doesn't really address the people who are earning so little that a tax credit really doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. The governor has talked some about his ideas for health care reform in Wisconsin. What do we expect to hear from him tonight on that?
Well, he has, focused on the issue of making sure that all children are covered by health care. And that's one initiative that he seems to have hinted at. He's talked about that before, actually. And then, of course, the whole tobacco issue is a health issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be interesting. You know, health care is a major issue. This is an issue where a lot of states, again, it's in part because of the lack of attention being paid by the federal government to this, but a lot of states are taking sometimes really bold initiatives on health care. Thus far, Wisconsin has not been among those states. There is a proposal for a very different kind of somewhat thinking out of the box proposal that is getting support, but I don't know if the governor is going to be announcing his support for that or something like it. But so far, to be very candid, the kind of proposals that have come out of the governor's office have been pretty modest, again, especially when you compare them to what's been going on in Massachusetts and California and Connecticut, the big states and small states.
Yeah. We have Deborah in Waukesha on the line now. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have a question as to what does the governor propose to do about the education problems in the state of Wisconsin? We have a big problem in Waukesha where we're looking at a $3.5 million deficit a year, which is 62 FTEs, and loads of cutbacks. We seem to have an all children left behind policy in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and you're talking about 62 full-time positions at risk,
right,
because of the deficit. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And that's going to be a continuous thing unless something happens.
Yeah, all children are being left behind in Wisconsin, Professor Driesing?
Well, I think that it's clear that the funding formulas and the way that we've approached K through 12 education the past few years is not working for a lot of school districts, and thus, you know, the all children being left behind certainly applies to some, if maybe not all. I think increasingly people are realizing that we've got to take another look at how we're funding K through 12 education, and going beyond the issue of just the two-thirds formula. That's becoming increasingly a simplistic, almost slogan-like kind of approach, and we really have to talk about what is adequate, what is, you know, what do we really want to do. Wisconsin's got a long, proud tradition of high-quality, very accessible education for the children in that K through 12 age range, and we're really slipping, and there are really some signs here that are not very good ones for maintaining that tradition.
Yeah. Speaking of children, Governor Doyle yesterday said he wants to merge the state's child welfare, child support, child care services, and welfare-to-work programs into a single agency. Right now, they're divided between the Departments of Health and Family Services and Workforce Development. He says the single agency would be called the Wisconsin Department of Children and Families. Hoping that this can focus on making health care more affordable and accessible. Workforce development can focus on job training and strengthening the state's workforce. Is this just a bureaucratic move that we don't really care about, or is this something that will be one of his announcements in the State of the State tonight?
Well, I'd be very surprised if he doesn't announce this tonight in his State of the State address. And while one can be skeptical and cynical and say, well, this is just a lot of bureaucratic shuffling and the like, this kind of a reorganization can be and often is really very, very significant. You think back, for example, when Tommy Thompson was governor and had a reorganization of the state and moved a lot of programs that had been in a variety of agencies, primarily between the old Department of Industry, Labor, and Human Relations and the Department of Health and Social Services, as it was called at that time, and aligned things in the Department of Workforce Development primarily to make the point that if people were going to get any kind of welfare assistance, that they had to meet work requirements. And that was, you could have called that bureaucratic shuffling in the terms of a reorganization, but it really was coupled with some policies and priorities and ways of thinking about issues that had a major impact. Likewise, moving juvenile corrections out of health and social services at the time into the Department of Corrections, treating juvenile offenders in ways very similar to the way we treat adult offenders. That's more than just bureaucratic shuffling. That's really a different way of conceiving of problems and dealing with them. And I think that what Governor Doyle is doing, at least symbolically, is emphasizing children. And actually, he's been talking about that as a policy emphasis of his own since he was Attorney General. So that's not all that surprising. But if this is really a meaningful reorganization, that it really could focus on the issue of children and families in a very meaningful way, getting existing resources. It's not going to cost a lot more money to do this. Initially, you'll have to do some shifting of offices and the like, but the costs are really minimal even there. But it really could have a major impact.
We're talking with Dennis Driesang, a professor of political science at UW-Madison. He's helping us figure out what Governor Doyle is going to say tonight during his State of the State address. It's the fifth State of the State address for Governor Doyle. We're talking about the issues most likely to come up, and we're wondering from you, what do you want to hear? What is the issue or problem that you think is most important facing the state of Wisconsin? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's about 17 minutes before 9 o'clock, and coming up after 9, we'll hear from Kathleen Dunn and her guests. And today, Kathleen and her guest will examine the nature of the media's modern campaign coverage. So campaign coverage by our media coming up after 9 o'clock. We're talking about the governor's State of the State address that he will give tonight at 7 o'clock. You can hear it here on the Ideas Network. You can watch it on Wisconsin Public Television, Wisconsin Public Radio's Sean Johnson, and Wisconsin Public Television's Frederica Freiberg will co-anchor our coverage. And all morning long, tomorrow morning, we'll have different guests from all different perspectives talking about the various proposals and politics of the proposals between 6 and 9 tomorrow morning. Right now we're previewing what we expect to hear from Governor Doyle, and we wonder if you care about any issues facing the state of Wisconsin. Asking you, what is the most important problem facing the state of Wisconsin? What do you want to hear from Governor Doyle tonight on that particular issue? What do you want to see the legislature do about that particular issues? I can hardly believe that our lines are open with such an open-ended question. The most important problem facing the state of Wisconsin, and what do you want to see done about it? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. 263-1890. We've already talked about some of the things that we know Governor Doyle will talk about tonight. We know that tonight he is expected to announce that he will appoint a global warming task force and create an energy independence office to coordinate the state's efforts to expand the use of renewable energy by 2025. So we'll hear stuff about energy and anti-global warming in the State of the State address tonight. We also know that the governor is going to call for a smoking ban in the state of Wisconsin. He'll want the legislature to pass a workplace smoking ban, all public places, including bars and restaurants, saying that's going to be better for the health of Wisconsin, and also proposing an increase in the cigarette tax, $1.25 a pack increase in the cigarette tax is one way that he'd like to help pay for some health programs, including smoking-related health costs. And we talked a little bit about what he might say about education and health care and some reorganization of some state government agencies. And Professor Driesang, what else? What else do we think the governor's going to bring up tonight that we haven't discussed so far?
Well, that's a good question, Joy. On the one hand, we've, in a sense, talked about enough in that State of the State address that is more effective than others is one that has just less than a handful of mm-hmm. initiatives instead of a real long laundry list. But, and this is where some of our listeners may want to weigh in. I mean, there are a lot of other things that the state is responsible for that we haven't talked about, environmental issues, mm-hmm. Transportation kinds of issues, getting specific about what kinds of changes one might want to make in terms of taxes. In his previous State of the State addresses, he was always keen to include some economic development initiatives. We don't have any hint at this point of anything that would fit directly into that particular category. So there are a lot of different policy issues that the governor could be addressing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you want to, if you're the governor, you want to sort of strike a balance between having all the important issues and having a few things for people to focus on.
Yeah, we have a bunch of people who now want to talk about their issue. But very briefly, before I get to the next caller, Governor Doyle has a different state legislature this time around, and one that might be more friendly to some of his ideas.
That's right. The state Senate is now in the hands of the Democrats. The Assembly continues to be controlled by Republicans. At this point, it really seems like the leadership in the Assembly is much more willing to engage in problem solving, to be very candid, than the previous several leaders have been, who have not really been so much interested in problem solving as posturing for the next election. That, by the way, is a comment on that leadership, but it also there were a lot of people on the Democratic side of the aisle who were doing the same. So that kind of tit for tat doesn't seem to be started at least yet, provides some hope that maybe indeed this time around we're going to have the governor and both houses of the legislature indeed focusing on problems instead of just a lot of partisan bickering.
Yeah. Carol in Plymouth is with us next. Hi, Carol.
Hi, Joy. I just wanted to comment on the issue of land use planning and the environmental things put in that to emphasize that, because I've seen our land, farmlands being they're going more corporate, they're going more big money, and our farmers and our sustainable food people are being squeezed out, and that's huge, and it has to do with energy, et cetera. And then the other thing was political or campaign finance reform, and that I believe we need to have a public financing of elections, and also that we have instant runoff voting for people, because it's just we're being taken over.
Yeah. Carol, thank you very much. A bunch of stuff there, but I did want to focus in a little bit on the election reform issue, because that's actually, it's not an election or campaign finance reform, but there is some movement right now in the state legislature to get through an ethics reform package. Professor Driesing, you want to touch on that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It looks like, indeed, the governor may have a bill on his desk by the time that he has the State of the State address on ethics reform. And you're right, Joy, that mm-hmm. that's distinctly different from campaign finance reform and election reform. Actually, my fear is that the governor and the legislators will use the ethics reform as an excuse not to deal with campaign finance reform. And that would be a really big mistake, because in large part, the kind of ethical issues that we've had here in Wisconsin lately are really tied to campaign financing.
Mm-hmm.
The pay-to-play is primarily getting people to pay into campaign treasuries rather than to personal bank accounts. And so we're going to miss the real issue in many ways.
Yeah, thank you very much, Carol, for bringing up your concerns. Let's go next to Corinne in Richland Center. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Well, yesterday there was a good show on about this statute of limitations, mainly on murder. But I think if the governor or the politicians could come up with some new laws on getting ready. These fingerprints they already have in some terminology they use. It's an abbreviation. And if they had those in for the people that work for the state and the cities, like the police department and whatever, it seems as though there's a lot of them out there that are falling down. And
I don't know. I don't get where you're going, Corinne. What kind of stuff do you want?
Well, with statute of limitations, it does not run out when it comes to murder. But having these fingerprints and mugshots of even people that work for the sheriff's departments, the police departments, so they have them on file in case something happens, because it seems like a lot of the policemen are falling apart, you know, on their job.
No, I don't know. Do you know where she's coming from, Professor Driesing?
Well, my understanding is that, in a sense, she's talking about having a database that's available for fighting crime and prosecution of people. And you know, to turn this into a more general issue, I don't hear the governor telling us that we ought to anticipate tonight anything on criminal justice or corrections reforms and the like. And that's another area where clearly there are a lot of issues here, but unless something comes up tonight that we're not anticipating, mm-hmm. this is not going to be a priority for the governor this year.
Thank you, Corinne. Sorry, I didn't quite get that. Certainly, criminal justice issues are important. John in La Crosse, hi, you're on the air.
Hello there. I would very much like to see Governor Doyle lower her taxes. We're grossly overtaxed. I live on the border with...
Yeah, we're losing you because you must be driving on the border, John. All right, another tax question. This is the issue that comes up most often when we do a poll or anybody does a poll. When you say, what is the most important problem facing the state of Wisconsin, a lot of people say we pay too much in taxes, Dennis Driesing.
Well, actually, Wisconsin's not unique. This particular time is not unique. It seems to be a perennial complaint that people have that they just don't like paying taxes. And my guess is that taxes will be on the agenda. It's almost inevitable you have to deal with taxes when you deal with a budget. Taxes were certainly talked about a lot in the previous session of the legislature. Fact is, it's not an easy issue to deal with. There are a lot of trade-offs back and forth. We can talk about lowering taxes. The question then becomes, well, which taxes are you talking about? And are you talking about state taxes or local taxes or federal taxes? And what are the implications for the programs and services that we rely on that government provides?
Yeah. The governor has said no increases in income taxes. He didn't say no increases in the cigarette tax.
Right. And he also said no increases in sales tax.
Yeah, that's right. No income or sales tax increases.
Right. Which are the major taxes and the major revenue earners for the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah. Let's go next to Joseph in Madison. Hi, Joseph.
Hi there. I'm calling because I'd really like to hear Governor Doyle address the school reform that he's talking about. He's already intimated that he's going to do something about the QEO, and I have a great concern that he's going to do something about the QEO and eliminate it and not address revenue caps. And school districts in Wisconsin seem to be struggling financially quite a bit, and this kind of a move could be devastating to school districts. The other issue I'd like to hear him address is a bit about some ethics reforms with campaigns as well.
All right. Well, what about eliminating the QEO? Is that likely to come up tonight, Professor Driesing?
Well, we haven't been given any indication that it's going to be coming up tonight. Governor Doyle had a task force that was dealing with the issues of QEOs and revenue caps, but there really hasn't been any action from that task force. Perhaps the task force is not the way to go on that. It's an issue. It's a major concern, and the QEO has had an effect of overall lowering the amount of salary that our teachers are getting. That puts us at risk, of course, of losing the best teachers to other states. We used to rank among the top 15 in terms of teachers' salaries, and we're now in the lower half among the states. So we've slipped quite a bit. And the revenue caps speaks to the general issue of not only teacher salaries and amount of money available for education, but also the issue that a lot of people are concerned with, and that is taxes, particularly the property taxes. So it's a complex issue. It's an issue that I think most people would say does need to be addressed. It's just not working the way that it was intended to or that most people feel happy with. But, again, whether or not we're going to hear anything about that in tonight's speech, we don't know. Mm-hmm. Certainly no indications that we will.
Yeah. As for, we touched on, he said, ethics in campaigning. We will hear the governor presumably laud the state legislature for coming to agreement on this plan that would merge the elections board and the ethics board into one government accountability agency that would have the power to go after corrupt politicians and I don't know, make them pay for wrongdoing.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't deal with, as we pointed out before, it doesn't deal with campaign financing. Mm-hmm. And if Joseph is referring to ethics, meaning negative campaigning, people saying slanderous things about their campaign opponents, mm-hmm. that's not addressed by the ethics bill that is before the legislature today.
And it should be noted that the sticking point in that legislation, I guess, has been solved, and that the clause that would say if one part of this bill is unconstitutional, the whole thing gets thrown out. Apparently that severability clause has been removed from the legislation, Professor Driesing?
That's right. So that now if a specific issue is regarded as unconstitutional, then that particular clause will be void and the rest of the bill will stand. The particular issue that has been most visible in raising this has been a rather unusual provision in terms of laws dealing with criminal and unethical behavior, and that is that if you're charged with a crime, that you can choose where you're going to be prosecuted.
Yeah, that's right. So a lawmaker from some other community might be prosecuted in that community as opposed to Madison, if Madison were the place that the crime occurred.
Exactly.
Not everybody's happy with that, and maybe it's not even legal, but
right.
I guess we'll see. We're out of time for now. Dennis Driesing, thanks very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Dennis Driesing, professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, talking with us about what we can expect to hear tonight from Governor Doyle when he gives his fifth State of the State address. We will be broadcasting that address live here on the Ideas Network at 7 o'clock. You can also watch it on Wisconsin Public Television, Wisconsin Public Radio's Sean Johnson, and Wisconsin Public Television's Frederica Freiberg will be co-anchoring our coverage. And remember that tomorrow morning, all morning long from 6 until 9, we'll hear from different guests from different perspectives talking about the state of the state. Thanks to Leo Duran and Cale Plowman for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.